Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
Dog, no one here yet. It starts yet. So I say, you are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We are part of Amplifier Media at amplifiermedia.com. I'm Wole, and with me is the homie Will T.
Listen, man, it was dead air. I was trying to be a good teammate.
I know. I was trying to make
you know,
sure
I was just trying to. I was just trying to jump in there, man.
I feel you. I was trying to post the stuff on social media about us being live, man. I was trying to make sure I had all the particulars out of the way, man. But also, anyway, we're here. We're in here. We missed last week because it was Turkey Day weekend. Turkey Day week. So we took a break, man. We had to spend time with our families, enjoy turkey. How was your Thanksgiving, bro?
I didn't do turkey this year.
Yeah, what did you do, bro? You didn't do turkey?
I did Cornish game hens.
That's like still a bird.
Yeah, it's not turkey.
It's a bird.
Listen, man, to me, turkey is overrated. We only have it once a year.
Well, how do you make it, though? I agree with you.
I typically fry.
You don't like the fried turkey?
I do, but it's like, man, I have that every...
I feel you. You want something different.
Different.
I get you. How was that, the Cornish hen?
It was good. Mm-hmm. I made it, so of course it came out great.
Oh,
yeah. Of course it came out great.
You said that. I made it. Of course it came out great.
Yeah, man. So I really enjoyed my Thanksgiving. Got a chance to hang out with my family. Did some volunteer work in the community.
Awesome,
fed
man.
The streets. And
that's dope.
It's good
man.
To go.
That's
good.
Dope.
So bro. Good, man.
No, that's dope. I need to do that too. That's dope.
It should, man.
I like that. I used to, you know, help out at the Capitol
food bank.
Mm, I used to in the city. Up in north. It was northeast. Up in northeast. So yeah. But yeah, man. It's like you. Turkey Day was great for me as well because I'm with my family, my cousins, my new nephew. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my new nephew, Olu Shala.
Olu Shola.
Yeah, so shout out to him. Yeah, man. It was great. Something about it, you know, because Thanksgiving was like my father's favorite holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime you get the whole family together, that was the thing of him, like getting the whole family together. And if folks who knew my father, you wouldn't think that's how he was, but that's how he was. but he liked getting the family together. Just like it gave him a smile. So just having that type of, you know, that environment, you know, and also too kind of remembering who he is too at the same time. So yeah, man, it was great.
Also, I don't think they have a sponsorship deal with us, but shout out to the casino that's in the harbor that has a app that allows you to gamble in Maryland.
And dude, hey, maybe we can work it, bro.
Hey, possibly, man. Listen, man. I just know that
we're a sports show.
Show, and that parlay, two leg parlay.
It was clutch,
baby. Came through. Michigan and Texas A&M.
Oh man, shout out to my Wolverines. Y'all know who I am. Y'all know I'm a big Michigan fan. And what we did to Ohio State.
I don't think no one anticipated that.
No,
happening.
Nobody.
I thought Michigan was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't anticipate that happening.
I thought it would be competitive. I was hoping it was going to be competitive because I, you know, watching Michigan throughout the season. Like, they're one-dimensional. They're very one-dimensional at a time.
And let's be honest, they did the level of competition that they faced.
They weren't, yeah.
And even outside Penn State and Illinois.
Yeah, but even at the Illinois game, we should have blew out Illinois, and we struggled against Illinois.
Yeah.
Because it was in the big house.
Yep.
So going into the game against Ohio State, I'm like, oh, we ain't even playing our best football. Quorum is hurt. I'm like, oh, this is not – you're not going to get the
best
Michigan
squad. It was a recipe for disaster.
But also, but what gave me a little hope, though, going into that game is that, like, Ohio State struggled against Maryland, right? So I'm thinking to myself, like, both teams aren't playing their sharpest football. But like you said, I didn't expect that. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially the first drive, Ohio State scores pretty easily to get the 7. I'm like, oh, damn it. You know what I mean? But then – after, Michigan, tied up at 10, then it was like, all right, we got, we want to do. And if you watch Michigan football throughout the whole season, you know that Michigan is a second half team. Like, they make adjustments like nobody's business. Like, Jim Harbaugh and his staff make adjustments like nobody's business.
That's probably my favorite person. One of my favorite people in sports.
Jim Harbaugh?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think he's one of my favorite people too.
The passion, man.
Yeah, man, it's real.
The passion that the guy has, man, for football.
Yeah.
Especially a specific brand of football. Yeah. Like physical football. Like, it's amazing to just watch him, you know, kind of orchestrate him do his thing. So congratulations to him and University of Michigan.
Definitely.
Football team.
Yeah, man. I mentioned Amp Pyre Media. Amp Pyre Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. And you subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene.
Every time I hear his name, I always want to say a dated joke. Mike Jones. Like, who?
Oh, I do too. Yeah. I stop myself too. I'm the same way, bro. Yeah.
All right, man. All right. Make sure you subscribe to our Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. This show can be found on Podcast DC, the local app with hundreds of options in local news and health in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows as well as the other great content. Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Check out our weekly NFL picks. Don't know about that one.
I'm near the bottom. I know that.
I am the bottom because I have a couple weeks of not doing it. On the Football Garbage Time website, just go to www.footballgarbagetime.com. It's part of the Urban Sports Scene versus Football Garbage Time Challenge. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates.
Hey, Will T.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington Commanders defeating the Atlanta Falcons and Washington's upcoming game against the New York Giants. At 8:30, we'll debate which Washington Wizards player has made the biggest improvement. Finally, we'll talk about the return of quarterback Deshaun Watson. All right, but first, I'll read this. On Sunday, the Commanders defeated the Atlanta Falcons 19-13. I thought Ray was going to be here first, and he's not. But I'm going to start with you, Will T.
I'm the only person to start with.
Exactly. You know?
Unless there's a ghost, a spirit.
Hey, look, where you at? Where you at, Ray? All right. Hey, what were your thoughts on the game and your thoughts on what were your thoughts on the game?
It was close, in my opinion, right? I look at that Atlanta Falcons team, and I look at this Washington Commanders team. And I just look at talent across the board.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wonder why was that game so close for the Commanders.
Agreed.
Because I think if we're just being honest.
They do. The truth.
You know.
Washington has more talent.
Yeah, across the board, Washington just has more talent.
Agreed.
But what made it so difficult was there's a style of football that Ron Rivera is going for.
Yeah.
With this specific quarterback,
yeah.
Taylor Heineke.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the things that made it as close as it is.
Agreed.
This team has found success playing it very close to the vest, mm-hmm. running the football, playing good defense, mm-hmm. and making sure that Taylor Heineke limits those
mistakes.
I was gonna say oh shit plays.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Yeah, limiting the oh shit plays, yeah. Right? And he's doing a good job of not doing that thus far.
When they don't drop him.
Yeah.
But, so, no, go ahead.
not only that, one of the things that, in my opinion, because of his playing style, with it being a little rainy, condensation outside,
yeah.
I actually think that's one of the things that played into Taylor Heineke's advantage for him,
right?
Because a guy who likes to get outside the pocket and create plays and extend plays, right? I thought that was one of the things that would be an advantage for him and for this football team.
It definitely was an advantage for Mariota. I do think he took advantage with his legs in that game, too. I do agree with you. I do think the weather helped. And it's funny. I think it helped in this aspect because you had a coordinator who does like to tend to throw the football. So when the weather is not conducive to passing the football, it kind of makes you one-dimensional, right? So you have to be – not one-dimensional, but force you to lean on the run game a little bit more. So I do think that kind of benefited. The weather helped put – the reins on the play calling. Say, you know what? We can't do but so much passing the football. So we're going to have to lean on Brian Robinson Jr. and Gibson and Jonathan Williams, the three running backs that Washington featured. And big shout out to Jonathan, to Brian Robinson Jr., who had 105 yards. First 100-yard game. And also, you know, one receiving touchdown when he trucked over the Atlanta Falcon DB. But I'm with you, Will. I do think that, you know, the team is more talented than Atlanta. You know what I mean? It is. I mean, I'm not throwing shade. It's just a fact. It's more talented than Atlanta. But because of the one position, because you have to play it and coach it a different way, because this quarterback, not just because, and a lot, we use the arm thing, but not just because the arm, but the limitations this quarterback has with even make creating turnovers, right? Like, if you let this quarterback free on his own devices, he will turn the football over. And you do not want to put that defense in a situation where they have to, you know, start from, you know, a bad field position, you know what I mean, for them. That's not a situation that's not advantageous for this defense. So I think that you have to coach the game a certain way, and that's why this game was close. But this has been a winning formula. I say this to any individual who's not a big fan of the quarterback. Like, you know, at the end of the day, you gamble. You just show, like if you are rocking, doing the same bet, right, and it's working, you get in the bag.
You're going to keep going.
Keep going with it. Regardless of how it looked, regardless if it's close, regardless of you just kind of scraping through it, but you're still winning it, you're going to stick with it. So I tell folks all the time who aren't, because I'm not the biggest Taylor Heineke fan, but I'm like, what do you want?
You don't say.
I'm not at all. You know this. But I'm like, but if you're just using common, just use common sense, you're winning. Why would you change it?
Yeah, not only, like you said, you're going to be very formulaic in what you do, and you're going to double down, right?
You're going to double down, yeah.
You're going to eliminate the things from the play call script that don't take advantage of his strengths.
Yeah.
And you know what he isn't the greatest at.
Yeah.
So you're going to try to eliminate those things also.
No, I think that's the thing for me. It's like he limits the offense to scoring the 20 to 30 points, right? You have Terry McLaurin, you have rookie Jahan Dotson, you have all these
weapons. Curtis Samuel,
you have all these weapons.
Logan Thomas.
You have your running backs. You just see what you have in running back in the backfield with Gibson, just a guy who can kind of do so many things out in the backfield. You saw in terms of physicality, you have with Brian Robinson Jr. So to your point, Will, on the offense, you do have a lot of weapons to go to, for real. But you can only score about 19 points in this game. But at the same time, again, it's because you want to limit, you want to do what's best for your team to win a football game. Because of the play caller you have, because of the quarterback that you have in the running the play, running the team. So you got to make the best situation for it. But in terms of this game, he played a solid game managing in terms of Taylor Heineke. Thought the defense played well, well enough. I thought they played better before, but well enough. To me, watching that game initially, I thought Atlanta was way more physical than Washington was. I thought they were the more physical team. I'll say that. I just down the road, when I said, and I said this, you know, prior to this show about Atlanta, I think I was talking to a friend of mine. I was like, Atlanta, you know, the teams that are going to scare Washington aren't the teams that can just run the football. Like, that's not the team that can scare Washington. Because at the end of the day, if two teams are going to run the football, you're going to have limited opportunities, right? Because mm-hmm. both teams mean they're going to be trying to win the time of the possession game, you're running the football. The team that's going to scare Washington is teams that score, like throw the ball, like winging it. You got a quarterback that's winging it, that means that you got to maximize your opportunity when you are running the football. So now the pressure is, if they're scoring 14 and you're only getting 3 by running the football, now you got to, like it's on the, like you said, the oh shit moment. I got to throw the football to get points. And that's when you put Washington in the bind. But if you've got a quarterback who isn't the best passer, and Mariota isn't, like the best passer, no knock on Mariota, just not the best passer, then Washington has a good chance of being in the game and winning that football game. So that's why I felt pretty okay with this matchup because of Marcus Mariota and what he brings to the passing game.
All right, let's stay on this matchup. Who do you think was the MVP of this game this from Sunday?
I would give it Brian Robinson Jr., his first 100, like you mentioned, his first 100-yard game. Physicality. I thought he brought an attitude running the football, and we've always, I think just by watching this team over the Ron Rivera years here in D.C., it's like, what's this team? What is this team's identity, right? I think you see it, like, when you have a guy like Brian Robinson Jr. Like, physicality. We're going to run it through you. We're going to run it through your neck, and we're going to try to out-physical you. And I think this is the first time I can honestly say, like, even that year they went 7-9 to make the postseason, which was whatever, this is the most physical – This is like a physical mentality that Rivera is trying to coach up, and you can see it. Like, this is the identity.
Last year, around a little bit earlier, around this time last year, we had a conversation about what's the identity of this team, right? Mm-hmm. And I think Bram was on that night, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he may have been. The Ravens weren't that good.
Yeah, so we had a conversation about, you know, when this team was successful back in the 80s in its heyday, there was an identity to this team. You know, you had the Hogs, you had play action passing, you had power running game, and you had a defense. They got to the quarterback. You're starting to see kind of those bits and pieces of this team's history of being a physical run team with, let's just be honest, with a quarterback you could plug and play and win.
Yeah.
You know, so playing a certain style of offense and a certain style of defense. So, you know, you won't be able to win like this every week in the NFL.
No.
You know, you don't have a guy that's as special or who wears that. I'm not saying Brian Robinson is special, but a guy who wears down defenses and gets stronger as the game goes, like King Henry in Tennessee, right?
Yeah.
And also they have a quarterback who's capable of making.
That's what I'm saying. It's different. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
More than one or two plays.
Because even with King Henry, you can argue to say, like, for instance, use King Henry as an example. That's a good example. They both went to Alabama, are physical running backs. I'm not putting Brian Robinson Jr. on the level of King Henry, but King Henry was playing with Marcus Mariota. He only can get but so far.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, with Marcus Mariota, get a limited passer. Then you give him Tannehill. And you have a team that, you know, contends. Like, I mean, they really contend. They're good enough to get to I think they got to the AFC Championship.
Yeah, they got to the AFC Championship.
Yeah, AFC Championship game last year. Were they the best record in the AFC last year or second?
Second
best record in the AFC. So I'm saying, like, you have, like, when you have talent, like, when you have that type of running back, you're still going to need a capable quarterback.
They made it to the AFC Championship the year before last.
Sorry, it's a year. Last year, Cincinnati knocked them out. But you know what I mean? So basically, I'm just saying, like, they consistently are competing close enough, contending. They're contending for a championship. One way or the other, they're contending for a championship. But you need to have a guy who can throw the ball, can make certain throws. Washington doesn't have that guy. So, like you said, Will, I totally agree with you. That as good as if Brian Robinson can reach even close to King Henry, you're still going to need another guy. You're going to need a guy who can scare defenses to make certain passes. It is what it is, because you're not going to get away with it.
And think about it. You know, the guy who was the offense coordinator in Tennessee, Arthur Smith. He's the head coach in Atlanta, and Arthur Smith was on the offensive staff of Joe Gibbs when Joe Gibbs came back. Joe Gibbs 2.0, as you affectionately like to call him.
I do, 2.0. And 2.0, they had an identity too, a physical mentality, physical brand of football. And okay. I love physicality. That's me, though. That's my type of football.
All right.
Why I love Jim Harbaugh so much. Go ahead.
Taylor Heinicke threw for a whopping 138 yards and two touchdowns and an interception. Can Washington continue to get by with this kind
of
play?
I don't think so. We kind of briefly talked about it a little bit. I don't think so. When you play better competition, you're not going to get away with that type of output. I don't care what it is. And then you're going, if you want to open it, and the issue is that if you do open it up for him, he has an issue, he has the trait to turn the ball over. So, and your defense, you don't want to put your defense in that bind where you have a quarterback that's going to turn the ball over. This defense isn't as good as like the 2000 Baltimore Ravens. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Not at all. But it is good. It is a good defense. And you don't want to put them in a situation where there's like multiple turnovers and they got to defend you. They got to defend from the 30-yard line. You know what I mean? So you don't want them in that situation. So my thing is that you're going to have to – Taylor Heinicke's going to have to get better and improve. Because when you play against – look, let's keep it a buck. You play against Tom Brady in the playoffs, not in the regular season, in the playoffs, that's different. That's not going to work. If you play against – trying to think in the AFC. I mean, like even our Dallas Cowboys in the division. It ain't working against Dak enough. It's not, because the Dallas Cowboys have a supreme defense. They do have a supreme defense.
Mm-hmm.
And their quarterback is good. Like, he is. Dak is good. So you're going to have to put up points. So you got to play better. You know what I mean? So you got to. So if you have aspirations of not just getting to the postseason, but try to do some damage in the postseason, Taylor Heinicke has to get better.
Okay. Before we get into this upcoming Sunday, this past Sunday, Washington commemorated the death 15-year anniversary, if I'm not mistaken, of Sean Taylor.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Man, I'll say, when I first saw it, I was like, just trash. I thought, like, I'm going to lie to you. That's what I said. But then somebody tweeted something, and I kind of agree. It was like, if his family appreciates it and loves it and likes it, I ain't going to knock it. Right. That's on them. Like, they like it, then who am I? If they feel the emotion, they say, you know what? It was good. It's good for them. It's good for me. But initially when I saw that joint,
like, this is trash.
I was like, this ain't a statue. Don't use the term. This is my issue. Don't use the term statue. Like, don't say statue. Just don't say something else. You say memorial. Okay, that's fine. You say,
yeah.
Then you were like, then folks were like, oh, well, that's what the media said. Well, you dude, we all in communications and PR, dude. Like, you could have squashed that and said, hey, tell whoever, like, it's not a statue. Put it out there. It's not a statue. That way, you dead the expectation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you be quiet, if you're quiet and you're like, you know what, let the media run with it. People, dude, like, there are leaks everywhere in this. We know about leaks here in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Just dead it. You know what I'm saying? But my stance on it is I don't own the right to have that type of opinion. If the family loves it, it's fine with me.
Well, I mean, you're entitled.
I'm in my opinion. You know what I mean? Though? Like, yeah. I'm not gonna knock it if they love it because dog, that's Sean Taylor is theirs. Like, I know I think we have a piece, if it's fan base thing, they have a piece of Sean Taylor. Sean Taylor is theirs.
It's their family.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
I think it was a nice gesture.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, to a generation of fans who don't know, who there isn't a rich history for them to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, the unfortunate passing of Sean Taylor is one of those instances in this franchise's history, whether it's, you know, the R word or the whatever. Washington football team and now the Commanders, that, you know, definitely tugs at people emotionally. And it's something that people will remember. So to see them commemorate, you know, his memory, I think that was special. But I'm like you, you know, if the family is happy with it, there's a lot that's going on externally and internally with this team.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think that may have been with everything that's going on surrounding this team, may have been the best moment to do it, but I understand the sentiment and I know why they did it.
Yeah.
So, no complaints here.
I don't know. To me, I mean, in terms of it was internally, they getting sold anyway, don't even matter. So I'm just cute a buck, they getting sold, don't matter. You know what I'm saying? But, I'm just saying, like, you just don't use the term statue. That's all I'm gonna say. Just don't use that term. Like, I think everybody would be cool if you just said a memorial. Because then that represents a lot of things.
Yeah.
It represents a lot of things. So it wouldn't matter. Like, you can't fry that. You can't say, all right, this is a statue here. Looks a difference. And look at this. Because you can compare one to the other, you're gonna be like, oh. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you. Yeah. The term memorial is
different. Like, you could a memorial, just like you go into like the African American museum, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you see, like, basically that's what it is. Like, you or call it a museum if you went to a certain something like that. Like, basically you got his jersey, some of the stuff he used to rock on that mannequin type thing.
Yes.
I guess
it's a mannequin.
It's a mannequin. Yeah. So. That would make more sense. That would make more sense. But I would also say, like, hopefully they're not finished with it. I kind of think they're going to add on to that anyway. So we'll see how it pans out. All right, man. So you talked about Sunday. Sunday, Washington goes to New York to take on the New York Giants. The Commanders are currently the seventh seed in the NFC playoff race. So they're in. They got the last spot. And the Giants are the sixth seed. What are the keys for a victory over the Giants for the Commanders, Will T?
Taylor Heinicke not turning over the ball. Them stopping Saquon Barkley and making Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes, beat them with his arm.
Mm-hmm.
Not with his legs, because we know he's historically, he's had long runs against Washington. Yeah, I agree. Has changed the tenor and the tone, and as you like to say, the momentum, swung the momentum of the game. and then also, it'll be interesting to see how Jack Del Rio and Ron Rivera go about attacking this that offense. Mm. And I say that because when we think of the Giants outside, outside of Saquon Barkley, this is a team that really presents any difficult matchups for you at the wide receiver position, right? You have Darius Slayton.
He gets open.
He gets open, but
he's a deep threat.
Like, but outside of Darius Slayton, who else do you have?
I got the kid Robinson. I think the young boy.
Wandale Robinson. Yeah. He's on IR.
They put him on IR now.
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
He just came. I thought he was back. He came back. He went back on IR. I could be wrong.
Give me a second to check.
I agree. So a lot of things you just stated, actually, you really agree. For me, the big thing is that what I like about the Giants, I think this is very important. You mentioned not turning the football over. I think it's very
Yeah, he's on IR.
So what you talk about not turning the football over, I think is so key because the Giants are well coached and they don't beat themselves. So because of that, because Giants don't beat themselves, and if you're giving up turnovers, throwing the ball football, and just throwing it up Taylor Heinicke, if he has that game where he throws two picks or whatever, you're going to put this team in a bad situation, bad situation period, because the Giants are well coached. They're well coached. They don't beat themselves. Like, if you watch, they can get beat, but they don't beat themselves often.
I think the guy you were referring to is Richie James, the wide receiver.
No, I'm not talking about James.
Oh, you're not talking about him?
No.
Okay,
all right. It's the rookie.
Yeah, Wandale Robinson. He's on IR. Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about, because he was putting up numbers, and then he got – okay.
But, yeah, to be honest with you, like you said, Brian Daboll, he through these first 12 games, right? He's kind of made a statement that his teams aren't going to beat themselves. Yeah. We're not going to turn the ball over. We're not going to have a lot of penalties. We aren't going to have the silly mistakes that happen when fatigue takes over.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, how this team is – Washington's been playing the last couple of weeks, I just find it hard for me to develop a scenario in my mind where they lose if they continue to play the way that they've been playing.
Yeah, but you're going to play – you're playing – again, you're playing against a team who's not going to – they're not going to make mistakes. Or not saying not going to, but it's going to make it hard. They don't make a lot of mistakes. They're just well coached. They know who they are, and they do it. You know what I mean? You almost lost the game against – Atlanta was similar, well coached. They know who they are, and they almost did. If it wasn't for a great play by Kendall Fuller, they could lose. They probably lose that game.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So you're going against another team that's well coached, who has the same type of recipe. So my thing is it's not an easy game for them. So, but I feel like it's again. So as I told you about matchups, I said matchups. This is not a game that I think that I would be totally scared. I think Daniel Jones is a better passer than Mariota. So I'm not just not knock. I think he's a better passer of the football than Mariota. But to the point what you just mentioned, that in terms of the threats that they don't have on the outside, I do think it's easier for them to. This is a matchup that this is a team that still matches up well for Washington. Gotta stop Saquon Barkley though, and you can't give a big play to Saquon. That's the one. He kills Washington when healthy. He kills Washington, and I would argue to say even when he wasn't healthy last year, he had a long run. He is healthy. He is all the way back. This is the real Saquon. So you get one of them lanes, and you're not in your gaps, you're going to pay for it.
All right. Speaking of being in, lanes and gaps, and a guy who made a reputation during his time and early in his career of not being where he's supposed to be, that guy I'm referring to is Chase Young.
DMV's Chase Young.
Yep. he's getting close to returning to the field. Do you think he plays this Sunday against the New York Football Giants?
I kind of have a feeling that he will. I don't know. I don't want him to play, but I think he's going to play.
You've gone on record and stated. I don't know if we were on mic, but the last time we were here, you don't want him. You want him to.
So the whole year, redshirt.
Yeah, just redshirt this year.
What does it do? I'm a big believer in that. This is my thing. When people keep saying, I think people just want to see him rather than caring about what's best for him. Because at the end of the day, your defense is playing well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think throughout, forget it if you ever experienced it or whatever, through your history of watching anybody who's had an ACL injury, the year they come back, are they typically themselves anyway?
No. Well, this is the conversation we had last week. Yeah. Not last week, the week before last. Yeah. Don't you want him to shake off that rust, get over that mental hurdle of getting out there and live action with his knee?
You can do that in preseason.
It's not the same, Wole.
No, it's just, yes, it is. Preseason, just put him in a preseason game. Like, it's all about getting confidence on your knee. It's not about this. Like, it's all about getting confidence. If I put you in a game where a game with the NFL official and a referee and say, go rush the passer, then you should be knocking out the rust. You should feel good enough. Or go scrimmage. It's about getting your knee, believing in your knee. Like, that's all it is. It's about belief in your knee. But you still get the explosion back. At least, and you get to train, and this is a good thing that people forget, you get to train now to improve your skills. Because the first off season, not about of getting your knee right, it's about getting your knee right. You get the other off season to now work on your skill set, your real skill set. So now you get that. So now you're in a whole different situation. Now, because this whole year, it hasn't been about skill, for real. Like, it really hasn't. Because you're focused on strengthening the knee.
I do think.
You're not doing explosives. You're not worried about explosions.
You're not, but you're going, you're taking the mental reps, right? And you're studying film, supposedly.
That's true.
And you're seeing, okay, when I get a chance to match up with this guy, I see that he likes to
do this.
Step hard to the outside. So mm-hmm. I'll go with a speed rush inside up under, right? So mm-hmm. he's getting the opportunity to apply those mental reps playing, you know, while playing this year when he comes back.
Yeah, but I feel like you're not going to get it while you're not yourself. It doesn't really do anything for me. Like, you're not getting that. Like, I would rather perform anything as a competitor as myself. Like I would do that. Go ahead.
No. I'll let you make your point.
No.
Okay. All right. So, don't you think that it's important? Okay. So, he won't be himself. I think we both can agree he won't be himself fully physically.
Mm-hmm.
But what this allows him to do is it allows him to work on his fundamentals, right? Get back to those fundamentals, some of those things that he probably, the coaching staff and him and Chase Young himself had an opportunity to break down some film of himself over his first 2 years in the league. And he said, okay, when I come back, I need to be better at this fundamentally. And now applying that, because he doesn't have that superior athleticism, he has to stay true to the fundamentals now.
Yeah, I just feel like doing that with a big old, big bulky brace, you ain't gonna get what you want. You know, you're not gonna get this. It just won't be, and then you won't get the same productivity out of the same position. Because I mean, your backup probably can do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, all that, you can get that from your backup. Like, you can get that from Williams, who's been doing well, or you know what I'm saying? You can get from the dudes who've been playing before you. I guess my thing is, like, when I look at Chase, I'm like, because we see them basketball, they do it now, like. When they turn them, like, look how they treat Kawhi. Look how they treating Klay Thompson. Look how they treated all these dudes. Like, they're not getting that 1 year. They're getting 2 years because they know, like, you know what? We can bring you back in 1 year.
But I don't necessarily think that's fair because that's an 82-game season.
Yeah,
that's
true. 16 of these. These are examples. Saquon Barkley missed, like, last year Saquon Barkley played. He wasn't Saquon.
He wasn't.
Yeah. He's Saquon. There's only one person in football history that has come back from an ACL. Like, I'm saying this, and I'm being over the top. But one dude we could all remember that has come back from ACL, and the knee damage that this dude did was similar because Chase is towards ACL and some and meniscus and other all types of stuff in that knee.
Adrian Peterson?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he got 2,000 yards. Only one person. And he trains different. And that's the thing. He trains different, though. He trains like he's Rocky. Like fighting, what's his name, Drago. Like, he trained on a different level. Like, his training is similar. Like, what he trains is very similar to how it is. Because even Trent Williams talked about how he trains is different from anybody you're going to see, you know, in that situation. Yeah, look at Odell Beckham. Mm-hmm. There's just so many people who aren't themselves. So I'm like, I'd just rather him be himself and play it. If they were in dire need, I guess, but this is my thing. If they were in dire need, then I'm with it. Like, if just say, like, their defense ends in trash. Then I'm like, all right, yeah, why not? But they're not.
See, with that scenario, and I know we need to wrap up. even with that scenario, I wouldn't be okay with it because I would say, all right, you're going to put too much on a player.
I think they would put too much on him now, knowing his fan base wants. He has haters out there that are waiting for him to say, oh, look, he ain't Chase. They're like just like the same thing that Saquon had to deal with in New York. Now they all, oh my God, Saquon's amazing. Chase is going to deal with it if he plays. Have you heard this from some of these folks on the radio station?
I don't listen to them.
Good for you. Good for you. Because I'm talking about the hosts. Some of these hosts.
No, I don't.
Yeah, like they a lot of them waiting for the downfall of Chase. They want the argument. Oh, maybe they should just trade Chase Young away. They want that argument. So I'm like, yo, don't give to me. I guess I'm looking out for the kid too. On the low, I'm like, yo, don't give these people any ammunition. Sit it out. You don't owe nobody anything but yourself. You owe yourself to be the best Chase Young you can be. You know what I'm saying? If you feel like, no, if he feels him to his core that he has to be out there to get better, then I'm not cool about to knock that young man's thought. But I'm telling you, I want you to be on the field when you Chase. That's all I want to be. I don't want nobody to say, I want you to be on the field when you are the dude that I hated watching when I was a Michigan fan. Like, I mean, not when you was in Michigan. I mean, when you was playing Michigan and Ohio State. I want you to be that guy. So we'll see how it pans out. But anyway, we watched the Wizards on TV, but so far, you know, we're going to ask the question, who has been the most improved Wizard compared to what we saw last season and this season? We'll discuss this after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces on Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com.
.com.
It breaks my heart. They ain't believing us.
We the best music.
They play themselves. While you hating and being jealous, you could be over here embracing that love, more blessings, more life. God did. You either win with us or you watch us win.
DJ Khaled.
They want his style. Ooh. But look at us now. They counted us out.
Time to say a prayer.
They didn't think that we would make it up. They didn't
think we'd bow our heads.
Oh, but I know that we now is needed.
God is great. Knows God, they just praying that I crash. Those guys, they don't want to see you last. Take a $3 million above your tax. A tub full of money, I still can't relax.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole and the homie Will T. The homie Ray Jeezy is out, and we are part of Empire Media, and that's empiremedia.com.
All right, you teased the question before the break. From what you saw last season to now, which returning Wizards player has been the most improved?
You know, it's easy to go with, you know, I'm not going with the obvious thing. A lot of people probably said, like, Porzingis right now, because you know what they saw last season. I'm gonna go with Corey Crisper. I like what he's brought to the table. He's averaging 9 points a game right now. At the last year, I think they averaged around 8, so it was a 1 point bump. But if you look at his play, he's shooting like 42 or something for three. And last season, he was like in the 30s. So I think he's brought up his game. If you watch like some of the games, like he has made great cuts. He's more aggressive. And this is a guy that, you know, started the season late, coming off an injury. I think he's come into this season improving on a lot of aspects of his game. He's not just one-dimensional. I said this before. He's not one-dimensional as a shooter. He's an athlete. He's actually an athletic kid. If you watch him at Gonzaga, you know he's got some bounce to him. So for me, I would go Corey Crisper.
I'm going to go with the first-round pick before Corey Crisper. I'm going to go with Denny Avdija.
Okay. All right. He's played. He's improved.
Yeah, his play is definitely improved.
And not stats-wise, I think he's improved. It's not all about stats. I agree.
The feel for the game.
Yeah, I agree.
The way he's getting baskets. It's not necessarily, I'm waiting for Brad to break down the defense and pass me the ball, or Porzingis to
break down the D.
Break down the defense, excuse me. When I said it, and then I saw your face, I was just like, okay.
Let me stop playing. Go ahead, bro.
No, and, you know, he isn't waiting to get the ball from a rotation from the strong side to the weak side. And,
he's going
to
ISO sometimes, man. Yeah. He's going to ISO sometimes.
And it's not just ISO buckets either. He's getting it within the flow of what Wes Unseld Jr. wants them to do offensively, mm-hmm. right? He's cut back, you know, backdoor cuts. cutting off of, you know, dribble handoffs. Mm-hmm. He's getting some baskets off of isolation late in the shot clock.
Yeah.
So for those reasons, I think he's improved. I've always thought that Denny Avdija could be
one of
those players that could be extremely important for this organization because his ability to be a playmaker with the ball in his hand, to be like a third playmaker for this team.
I think he has to work on it. I think his three ball it should be better. He thinks he's like high 20, I don't want to say 28% from three, but I think he should be a better three-point shooter. I think he's actually a decent shooter when he lets it go, but I think he has to be more confident in his shot. So we posted the question on Facebook, actually in the Wizards Nation Facebook group. Shout out to the Wizards Nation Facebook group. Joella says Kuzma. Yeah, I think he's upped his game.
I think his game is at the same level it is for the most part. In my opinion.
Yeah, Porzingis, I mentioned that before. Rui and Gil. Mike Gale said Porzingis. Valencia says Rui and Gil.
Anthony Gill?
Yeah. I mean, I think Rui has brought his game up. I think everybody can agree on that. Rui's game has increased. I think now he's averaging about, I got to look at the stats. I want to say he's averaging like 15. May went down. Rui's been hurt, though, the last couple of weeks. I'm looking at his stats right now. I'm trying to pull it up. Rui's this season is averaging 11. He's averaging 11, but he was hurt. Not so long. But yeah, Rui's his three ball has gotten a lot better this season compared to, well, not actually, what's Rui shooting three? 30 the last year. About the same for real, 33% from three. I think Rui's more, I will say Rui's more aggressive. That I do know about Rui. He's more aggressive. I actually would like Rui to play, to stop shooting as many threes. That's just my thing. I think Rui, in new NBA, they try to make Rui shoot so many threes. I think Rui's a better mid range shooter than a 3-point shooter, but, it is what it is. That's new NBA, though. Everybody wants you a three.
New NBA.
Yeah, new NBA. Everybody wants you a three. Just not. Everybody want to be a tall Steph Curry, or you want to be like a dark-skinned Steph Curry, or you just already light-skinned, so you're Steph Curry right there.
Johnny Davis.
He don't play.
Yeah, I know. Right?
You suck. I mean, I say suck. That's wrong. I ain't going to say suck. That's bad. That's bad. That's messed up. That was a bad pick.
It's looking like it so far.
A bad pick. I mean, I ain't gonna hold you. That's a bad pick. I mean, I watched because when they drafted him and I looked at his stats, I looked at him play. I know he had a good, like his last year was good, you know, in the Big Ten. Just wasn't a fit though. Just wasn't a good fit. That's all.
Yeah, I'm curious, right? Because he was a top 10 pick. If I'm not mistaken,
he was.
You know, like what. Went
what's
wrong.
Not, what's not going right?
Yeah, is it just a conditioning? Is it he's not understanding the offense? Is he a defensive liability? I'm just curious.
I think Wisconsin, they play defense. This is my opinion. You already have so many dudes in that position that you play. You just mentioned Denny, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Chris. You got Bradley Beal. You got CRISPR. You got Will to throw Barton too, right?
Yep.
Like, really? Like, how much? You just got another swing. Like, it's just not – you're, like, basically sitting him for – like, you got him playing the G League, right? He's playing the G League, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're just playing him in the G League. To be honest with you, Will, I hate that teams do that to lottery picks. Like
– what?
You draft him a lottery pick, you got to play that boy. Like, you should play him. If you're not a champion, you're not a championship team. Because I hate that Golden State doesn't play Wiseman. Like I hate it. I think it's like you're ruining that young man. Like I think it's the worst. Like, God bless Kevon Looney. There's no way in hell is Kevon Looney's better than Wiseman. I don't care for his role though. He's a good role player for what they do. But as a basketball player, he is not better than Wiseman. I don't care. He is just not better than Wiseman. I've seen Wiseman play at his highest. That Kevon Looney is not even close to that. Now, is Kevon Looney a better role player than Wiseman? Yes. He's a better role player than Wiseman. Yes.
He fits a particular role for a championship team.
Just like how like how Draymond's a great fit for Golden State. It's a great fit. May not be the best fit somewhere else, but a great fit for Golden State. So, but in this situation, I think they should play the young boy. I do think they should play him. But
it's
It's tough. I'm with you though. I think it's kind
of
like,
yeah, it's the debate that I was having with one of my I was having with my barber actually on Thanksgiving, right? Bobo.
Man, if you, actually, not, you could have, don't get me on start on that.
So if you think about it, hey, Bobo was drafted by the Denver Nuggets.
Yes, and he could have got here, and they could have got him.
Could have got him. He could have been here in Washington, yes. But then he was traded to Boston. We know that Boston.
He was traded to Boston, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did.
Boston is a team that had championship aspirations, so he didn't get little to no playing time.
And they traded him.
But now he's in Orlando. Orlando's a team that's developing very young, right? So there's an opportunity for him to make those mistakes and learn. But when you look at that talent, though, that Bobo has.
Shaq said this. I feel like you got to listen to the NBA players, dude. He said when he watched his son play with Bobo, and he said this, like, yo, there's no reason why this dude shouldn't be getting any burn. Like, this dude should be getting burned in the league. Like, this dude could be a star in the league. He said this. Like, Shaq said this. And now you see him in Orlando, like you said, because he's getting the opportunity. I don't get why Denver didn't just give him a shot. Like, honestly, I don't even get why Boston. Like, to me, when you, I know you like that's championship aspirations, but even with his skill set, man, like, you could make that work, bro. That work.
If you think about it, man. if Boston had said, all right, we will find 15 minutes a
15
game
minutes, man.
To get him in sporadically.
Exactly. Yeah.
That team would be a on a dynasty status.
I'm going to give you, make it even, dog, I wasn't the biggest Kobe fan. Rest in peace. Wasn't. But, dude, we had a championship aspirations with Nick Van Exel, Eddie Jones, Shaquille O'Neal. All these, and we still fit Kobe in. You get what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you could fit that type of talent in. Like,
when you see a dynamic talent,
yes,
you say,
can fit
right,
it in, man.
Let's make the sacrifice, move some guys.
We can
get
make
them
it work.
Some playing time.
We can make it work because
they're that dynamic of a talent,
and you can make it work. Like, he's a 7 foot dude with guard ability.
Seven four.
But guard ability.
Yeah, everyone's talked about Victor Wembanyama.
That's
Victor
what it is.
Wembanyama. That's what it is.
That's what it is right there. Yeah. That's what it looked like. Yes. That's what it looked like. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm with you, man. Like when and I remember, I was like when Bobo was like he was pushed. It's like, what's like a second round pick?
He was a second round pick.
I was like, yo, you Wizards, you got the story. You had his dad. Like, what is this? You had his dad. Like, this is the story, bro. Like, this is, one, you getting a baller, and you got the story? Come on.
I think some teams were scared away from his medical
year. Yeah,
but still, like you said, man, look, in today's NBA where, let's be frank, you rest player, you give guys nights off.
Dog, Embiid was injury prone. How many times did we like to wait?
Yeah, you get him into your program, you get him with your physicians, you get him with your PTs, you develop a diet, a workout regime, and you say, all right, 1 or 2 years, like for a whole year, you are not going to play. We're going to work with you in practice.
Yeah.
Well, towards the end of the season, we'll try to find 10 minutes a game to play you.
Man, shout out to the Magic, bro. Like, I like with that. Like, shout out to the Magic. Get that man an opportunity, and you see what's happening.
Yep.
And he's scoring. He's scoring. He doing work. And
yeah, not just scoring. He's doing all facets of the game.
Rebounding, dog. He working.
Shocking, blocking shots.
Man, just
handling the ball.
Yeah.
Not just on the fast break either. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Within the half court.
Man, I'm telling you, man. Like, I'm with you. I think that's something the Wizards are gonna regret. That's something the Nuggets will regret, and that is something the Celtics will regret.
Absolutely.
To a certain extent, they will regret it. Like, because you had that dude in your building, in the building, and you decided to say, you know what, let's trade it. What did you get for it, though?
Nothing.
That's the thing. What did you get for it?
Nothing.
Exactly, man. All right, man. About to go to break. We're going to talk about Deshaun Watson returning. He returns this Sunday. I'm kind of excited. I ain't going to lie to y'all. We'll talk about this after the break.
It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
On Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com.
We the best music.
Another one.
DJ Khaled.
I like the
wretched as women. Whoop, whoop, G6, let's get it. Rich niggas coming down to the city. Yo, bitch, outside getting litty. Showing me the titties, acting like a menace. Standing on the couch, standing on business. Drinks in your mouth, swallow, don't spit it. Party all the time, feeling like Diddy. Shining a little wrist, feeling like Billy. God did, God did, I'm a witness. I just sent 50 bottles to bitches. Know the gang getting a vip by the penis. Still in the meeting, be back in a minute. The phone talking chicken. We the best, we too blessed, we keep winning. The party won't stop, it won't finish. Let's get it.
Let's get it. We did it. I'm committed. We all in the city. We get litty. Get out your feelings and go get some benches.
God did, God did. I'm a witness. I just sent 50 bottles to bitches. Know the gang getting a fit by the pennant. Still in the meeting, be back in a minute.
Until I activate, throw it back, it got an aftertaste. Patty cake coming, 6 figures of patty face. If you're schooling hard knocking, I graduated. I can't fuck with that bitch, she be aggravated. If I can't get that bag, I'm agitated. She popping that ass, but she graduated. On shoes at the party, it's animated. They keep telling me it's my time to Tony Hawk grind. Like, fuck it, I gotta take it. Angels watch over me, looking at demons and shit. Can't run, you gotta face it. When they give up on you, they don't even fuck with you.
Hey, you listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T and myself, Bo Lame, and we're part of Amplifier Media at AmplifierMedia.com. The homie Ray Jeezy is out. All right, man. After 11-game suspension, quarterback Deshaun Watson makes his Cleveland Browns regular season debut against his former team, the Houston Texans.
In Houston.
Talking about a show. That's like a soap opera. Like, hey, man, Will T, what are your expectations for Deshaun?
I think he's going to be rusty.
Okay.
You know, he hasn't played football in a year plus.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he'll have to deal with a lot of distraction initially.
Yeah, the booze.
The booze, because they'll be in Houston, the booze. Yeah. And then I'm pretty sure he's had a lot of requests for media interviews this week that
sure,
I believe if I was doing some research about him and his subject prior to the show, that he's rejected all media requests. He's just concentrating on football at this point in time, and I think he should be. He should.
It's about football, yeah.
I think anyone who believes, and I think if the coaching staff, I think the coaching staff has to temper expectation for ownership, for the Haslams.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're going to they may think, oh, we gave this guy $230 million guaranteed. He hasn't played football in a whole season and 11 a whole season.
Yeah,
like
11 games.
So they're probably going to say, we want people, the expectation for them is for him to be dynamic and be the old Deshaun Watson. But it's going to take a long time for him to get out there and get back to that, especially with him trying to learn his new teammates and learn this new offense.
Well, the good thing about it is that he has a power running game. When you have Chubb and Hunt, right? So you got something to lean on. So he won't have to carry the team. He struggles a little bit. But he also, the good thing is, he's going against the Houston Texans, who suck. So I mean, not to say that there's homecoming games and everything, but I mean, if you're looking for a homecoming game to feel right, Houston Texans is the team. You know what I mean? So we saw what Taylor Heineke was able to do against the Houston Texans in terms of limited fashion. It's not like he was doing something spectacular, but he was able to move the football. So you're gonna see Deshaun Watson, if he's going to get right, if he's going to get a game to play well, coming and being rusty, it's not a bad homecoming game.
No, it's not.
It's an ideal game for somebody who's coming back from a long layoff, I'll say that much. You're playing against the worst NFL team in the league.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. This is an ideal if you to get your feet back wet and to get your familiarity back to, to get some confidence for yourself.
Yeah.
This is probably the ideal matchup for you.
Yeah. And then you are playing with I gotta check. I think their best corner is out. Is Stingley maybe out?
Derek Stingley.
He may be out.
I believe so.
So I mean, Amari, who's had a good year, even with Brissett, if you want to go the route of trying to feature his arm, you can go that route. If he looks bad against Houston, it's a problem. Then you're gonna have to wait till next season to get the real Deshaun Watson. I will say this, but again, even if he struggles a little bit, again, Houston has like the worst run defense. You can run Nick Chubb.
Yeah, you can run Nick Chubb.
And Hunt.
And Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, so.
But it'll be interesting, you know, with.
I know. With all
with the narrative that'll be
out there
presented during the pregame.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, you know, it's definitely going to pick up tomorrow because tomorrow's Thursday, right? Thursday, Friday,
yeah, it's gonna pick
Saturday.
Up. Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to hear the narrative, you know, during those pregame shows. And then also as we get, you know, later into the week with the media, specifically the Houston media. And then it's alleged that 10 of his accusers will be attending the game.
Yeah, they'll be there. Let's hope they all I'm saying is that I just want for the people out there about Deshaun Watson, I hope that you all are not Big Ben Roethlisberger, Big Ben fans, because I just want y'all to keep the same energy. If you're Big Ben fans and you hate Deshaun Watson, if that's the the stance that you are, I'm hoping that you feel the same way about Big Ben. That's all I'm saying. Like if you don't feel the same way about Big Ben, then I feel like there's another issue.
You feel as if people are being hypocritical.
Yes, there's another issue. Just saying, like, that's what it is. And these are all allegations or whatever it may be. No, it's all allegations. You know what I'm saying? No one knows the truth of what happened. They're all allegations. But I'm just saying, if that's the case, just make sure you stay, you keep it all the way 100. That's all I'm saying. Like, you have that stance, have that stance. Because I feel like in today's culture, I mean, today's society, we have one stance on one situation, but another situation, we feel slightly different. Whatever reason right. that is, I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, and it could be the same exact thing. One may be even worse in the same realm. You know what I mean? One may be even worse. But you tend to ignore this one because for this one. So that's all I'm saying. But in terms of football play, I mean, I want to see him play.
Absolutely.
I want to see him play. I was a big Deshaun Watson. I like watching Deshaun Watson play football.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I like watching him play football in college. I like watching him play when he was with the Houston Texans. You know what I'm saying? And now I want to see what he plays, see how he looks against the Browns. I mean, I think he has a lot of ability, a lot of talent. We'll see what happens, man.
It'll be interesting. Yeah. Like you said, it'll be interesting to see how he fares this Sunday in Houston. And then I'm pretty sure I don't know Cleveland's schedule, but I'm pretty sure they have a couple of or maybe a high-profile game or two.
I mean, this is a high-profile game because they're playing the Texans, right?
Yeah.
Only because he's going back home. But
Only because he's going back home.
Not because of sorry-ass Texans. Cleveland Browns, man, shout out to Lovie Smith, man. I feel bad for you. You might get blown out. Let's see. Yeah, you're right. Some good games coming up for Cleveland. They got, after the Texans, they got the Bengals. Then they got the Ravens. Cause their defense, their division doesn't been like they got two tough ones. They got the Saints and they got the Washington. They got the Commanders. They got the Commanders on New Year's.
Oh, so he'll be in DC.
Yeah, man, he'll be in DC.
Okay,
I know, man. I mean, somebody wanted him in DC. That's, you know what? That's a whole different thing.
I mean, that's a conversation. So, that's a topic for when they come.
They come.
To DC,
you know what? Yes. It will say that.
Yeah, but
January 1st, you'll get that conversation here on the Urban Sports Thing.
Yeah, but no, you think about it. So after this week, you got Joe Burrow, and then you have Lamar Jackson. So
man,
you know, and we know the NFL is a quarterback driven league.
Young
so,
quarterback, right
yep,
now, and they're all young. Yeah,
Deshaun Watson versus Joe Burrow, which that'll be the storyline,
yeah.
And then you have Deshaun Jackson versus Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson versus Lamar.
Yeah,
Lamar Jackson, you know, with Lamar asking for
allegedly
a contract similar to Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
So
great storyline there. You ain't lying about that. So yeah, man, get your popcorn ready. It's gonna be a great couple weeks. I mean, it's gonna be an entertaining couple weeks of us like following Deshaun Watson. So we'll see how that pans out. But anyway, man, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and tune in and iHeartRadio and Google Podcasts. Excuse me, just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, follow us on Twitter at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. Hit that red subscribe button and like multiple videos on our channel. And check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Amp Pyramedia at amppyramedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Amplifier shows as well as other great content. All right, man, we gave you another banger. You are welcome. That's what me and Will are saying. You are welcome. And thank you for listening. And I'm going to say thank you for listening too. So, bang. And now you can say you are welcome. All right, anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.